Are you happy?
Yes.
You don't look it. I'm sure most of you know the children's chorus. If you're happy and you know it.
Yes.
Very good, very good, yes. You are happy this morning. Well, I'm going to change all that. What makes you happy? Just think for a moment. What makes you happy? For some of you, it may be an individual, a long-standing friend, who you're happy to be in the company of. It may be an event, an anniversary, a birthday. It may be the family, your wife, your husband, your children, your grandchildren. It may be money, winning the lottery if you do it. It may be the thought of a holiday, fast approaching. It may even be your football team winning. Or, can't hide things with this plastic cup. It may be the thought of chocolate. I was given this, and this little fella is holding his bar of chocolate, and his sign says this: "There is nothing better than a good friend." Except a good friend with chocolate. Today's life lesson in our series, which Steve has given to me to reflect on, is how to be happy. No cliches, no trite answers, but there is a way. Happiness. I reckon that if you could bottle happiness, you'd be on to a surefire winner. You would be rich beyond measure. Because everyone wants to be happy. Well, everyone, excluding those who seem to enjoy being miserable. But even they are happy when they're miserable. As I was reflecting on that word happy, like so many words, by the very nature of the word, it suggests that it's the opposite of something else. Unhappiness. Sadness. Sadness that results from all kinds of things. Reading some books, whether fiction or non-fiction, especially if it has a sad ending, can leave you feeling unhappy. Likewise, watching certain films. One of my church members informed me, never came to a church service on Good Friday. She couldn't listen to the gospel account of Jesus' crucifixion without bursting into tears. Tears of sadness. Sometimes it's watching a loved one suffer, or worse still, watching them die, especially when it's been a long and painful death. For many people, whether they are happy or unhappy has something to do with the surroundings that they find themselves in, the events that they're experiencing. But also, I want to suggest, it has something to do with our personality. Because some people seem to have a natural, happy disposition. Others are the exact opposite. doesn't matter what they have or don't have. They will always appear to be unhappy. I think the Scottish description of such a person is someone who is dour. How then do we square this with the teaching that in Christ we are a new creation? In Christ we are a new creation. Does that suggest that by becoming a new creation we can also change our personality? From being a glass half empty person to being a glass half full person. I don't think it does always. All of which led me, as I prepared this sermon, to reflect upon what it is that as Christians makes us happy. Surely it has to do more than simply having that lovely, warm, inner feeling of joy. Surely happiness has to be about more than just what we're going to give, what's going to give me the greatest pleasure. If that's not so, then our happiness sounds as though it's a very selfish thing. Smacks a little of what under Margaret Thatcher came to be known as personal choice. It sounds as though it's simply hedonistic, only concerned with my own well-being, with my own happiness. Was this description given to Thatcherism? I'm not making a political statement. I'm just sharing this with you. The government's job should be restricted to the bare essentials. Defence of the realm and the currency, everything else should be left to individuals to exercise their own choices and take responsibility for their own lives. Which was taken by many to mean, if it feels right for you, then it must be right for you. Pure, selfish individualism, with no real consideration for what others might need. No corporate responsibility for the good of others. All of which makes for happy individuals with no interaction with one another. And the more I reflected on this over these past few days, the more convinced I became that we are called to be selfless rather than selfish when we think of the pursuit of happiness. That being a Christian lays upon us a duty to be altruistic. Indeed, I actually went to my, I don't often do this these days, but I went to my New International Version of the Bible's concordance. I thought I'd bring it to show you. Some of you may have heard of words, the concordance. This is my NIV concordance. Just a small book. Every word is there. I was fortunate enough to inherit this from my father-in-law. Mine wasn't as big as this. How many times do you think the word happy appears in our NIV New Testament? Four times. Does that surprise you? Surprised me. And none of them are in the Gospels. I I thought I'd just share what the four are, because you may be wondering what they are. In 1 Corinthians 7:30 we read, from now on, Paul says, those who have wives should live as if they do not. That'll make you happy. Those who mourn, as if they did not. Those who are happy, as if they were not. For this world in its present form is passing away. I don't think that's what we're really thinking about this morning. Or in his second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 7 and verse 9, he says, I see that my letter hurts you, but only for a little while. Yet now I am happy, not because you were made sorry, but because your sorrow led you to repentance. I don't think that's what we want to be thinking about this morning. And then in 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 13, in addition to our own encouragement, we were especially delighted to see how happy Titus was, because his spirit has been refreshed by all of you. Oh, maybe we're beginning to capture something of what happiness means in the New Testament. And then in James chapter 5 and verse 13, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. If you're happy and you know it. Four, all in the New Testament, but none in the Gospel. So does Jesus never once talk and think about us being happy? Now, before any of you tell me, in the Good News Bible, the word used for blessed or blessed in our reading this morning from the Beatitudes is translated as happy. It is. But let me say, this isn't an accurate translation of the Greek. So if Jesus didn't use the word happy, perhaps it's because he used a different word. And as my thinking was going on, I thought, yes, content. Content. How many times has Jesus used the word content? Once. In Luke chapter 3 and verse 14, then some soldiers asked him, and what should we do? And he replied, don't extort money and don't excuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. Happiness. Is it something that we vainly strive for but will never obtain? Carol's given you a hint this morning of one way in which happiness can be there. I'm just asking myself, have I made a mistake? Does God in fact not want us to be happy if that word doesn't exist in the New Testament in any real sense of the word that we use it as and understand it as meaning? No, I don't think so. So if we are to be happy as Christians, I'm wondering if we ought to be looking elsewhere. If we turn to Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, we hear Paul encouraging the Christian leaders from Ephesus. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of Jesus himself, who said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And if we translate it as the New Testament in the Good News Bible would say, it is more happy to give than to receive. All of which suggests to me that perhaps that is where the Christian is different to the world. in which we live suggests to me that perhaps true happiness is found in the service of others. What makes you happy? I began with that children's chorus, "If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands." Let me quote from another old favourite, written in 1887 by John H. Sammis, and known to many of you, I'm sure. I won't sing it, I'll just read it. "When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey." You're showing your age, dear. You're showing your age. It's a good CSSM chorus. Remember the old beach choruses that we used to sing on the beaches? CSSM, "Come single, soon married." That's what it was. "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey." Just a slightly different take this morning on happiness and what makes us happy, and how the Christian, in his happiness, may perhaps begin to change the world. I was also thinking, as I prepared this sermon, of another song. Don't ask me why it popped into my head, but it did. It was made famous by Ken Dodd. Now, Ken is a fellow Liverpudlian, a fellow Scouser. He's quite a character. He said to the Bishop of Liverpool, he is a Christian, Ken. He worships at did worship for most of his life at St. John's Notty Ash. It's actually in my mother's Sunday school class at one time. And he said to the Bishop of Liverpool, "I'd like to do something for the church. I'd like to use my talents in some way to help the church." And the Bishop of Liverpool thought for a minute. James Jones it was. He told us this after. He said, "I didn't know how to respond to that." And then he thought, "I know. I'll get him to come to the next clergy conference." And he did. Ken came. And he addressed us. Well, he shared his jokes with us. It's quite funny, really, because he didn't quite know how to set it. He set it a bit too, you know, nice. And then he realised, no, clergy are just the same as anybody else. And he was very good. He only spoke about an hour and a half. None of his 3-4 hour presentations at the Empire in Liverpool, when people are beginning to fall asleep and want to go home. But you might remember this song. Notty Ash does exist, you know. It is a place. People think it's just made up. Do you know which song I'm thinking of? "Happiness, happiness, the greatest gift that I possess. I thank the Lord that I've been blessed with more than my share of happiness." Yeah, good, isn't it? Happiness. "To me, this world is a wonderful place." Jean knows every word. "To me, this world is a wonderful place. And I'm the luckiest human in the human race. I've got no silver. And I've got no gold. But I've got happiness in my soul." So I'm just suggesting this morning, as we think of that word, happy, what is going to give us the greatest happiness in our soul? How many of you, when I asked you what makes you happy, immediately thought, my service to other people. Amen.